So, you know, with that, I guess I can call this meeting to order. I think there's enough folks on. I think Steve's going to get on in a minute. He might already be.
I see him.
And, okay. And so some of the things that I had down in the agenda were, you know, really just coordination of the mark replacement coming up this month. You know, we did it before and when we did it before, 2 years ago, whatever, 2019, we just met. Peg Wise has all these in her garage. She lives over there just south of the lake on Lakeshore Plaza. And we just sort of gathered in little groups and put markers in pickup trucks and just drove around to each tree that we had identified, and just little groups of volunteers just put them into the ground. It's very simple. We discussed like the best way to place them and all this before, and it's really just put it a few inches into the ground, let the marker be flush with the grass or landscaping, and that's really all there was to it. And it was pretty easy. We all got it done in just a couple hours from what I remember. So, you know, that being the case, I guess, you know, I just want to, and you're not obligated to be there. I think there's a lot of folks from the garden club that are actually going to be involved.
Yeah.
Some of the same crew.
Brad, let me clarify that, because Susie's notes for the agenda, it says how many tree board members will assist AEGC. It's not assisting AEGC, the garden club, it's us assisting y'all, because this is not our project. This is the board's project. Yeah. We were just the keeper of we're just trying to help the tree board out. This is not our project. We'll have a few of our members.
Right.
We're not, you know, soliciting a whole group of people.
Okay. Yeah,
since I'm the new secretary, can we back up? I think, Gina, aren't we supposed to approve the agenda as a matter of order in the before we get into the agenda, adoption of the agenda?
Why, thank you, Susie. yes, we need to, so Brad, if you could call the meeting to order, ask for someone to make a motion to adopt the agenda, second, and then vote on that. That's really the first order of business.
Okay, I make a, would anyone like to make a motion to approve the agenda?
Sure, I'm Jim. I'm making a motion to approve the agenda.
Do we have a second?
Anybody want to make a second?
Second.
All approved?
Aye.
All right. I hope everybody said aye. So.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
Just got a text from Christy Grant. She can't connect. I don't know whether it's because I connected and then I changed my name. I don't know.
I don't know. I know Steve had to call in by phone because he wasn't getting audio on the link that I forwarded to him. Really, I guess from this group, you know, on the tree board, I guess I want to make sure that we get enough people. Pat, do you know if anyone can help us from the garden club, or do you know?
I know that myself and Christy will be there. We can mention it at our meeting next week to see how many people are interested, but I don't have a number.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, if you could make that known, that'd be great. I know that Steve and I would assume will definitely be there. And I would assume also that, Tracy will likely be there as well. So I know there's the three of us that I'm sure will be involved. Is anyone else on the out there?
I'll be there. And depending,
can they help?
Yeah, Susie will be there. And depending on how many folks you need, we start back with Gardeners for the Common Good next week, and so I can, you know, let them know about the date and where to be and see if any of them can come as well. But I don't want to get more people to set aside their Saturday morning and not have anything to do. So how many folks do you estimate are needed?
Sorry, I'm texting Steve. Apparently he can see us, but he's muted or something. He can't, I don't know.
Well, I have Patricia, Christy, Steve, Brad, Tracy, and Susie who have volunteered, who said they can be there on Saturday the 24th.
And probably Peg Weiss can be there.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll be fine. It's one of those things, like if we can't handle all the markers, I can't even remember how many we had. I know we tried to, you know, I can't remember the count of them. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, it really won't take that much time as long as there's, you know, a group of about eight of us or so that can, you know, work on some of them. And of course, you know, you can, it's whatever time you have available. And if it, we can't get them all done, then we'll just do our best to add more on a later date. That's really all we could really do.
Can I throw something out there?
Yeah.
If there's just a few left over or whatever, the city can take that on. I have the live oak marker living on my truck currently. So,
okay. Okay. Well, that's great, Adrian.
I have a question. What time do we start?
Well, we didn't set a time. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we can do it, 9 a.m. start then, have time to have breakfast and coffee and do it at least from 9 to noon and see how many we can get done.
Okay. Sounds good.
Unless anybody votes to start earlier.
And 9 sounds good.
Okay. We'll just meet at 9 a.m. at Peg Wise's house. And I have a pickup truck, so I can, load a few up and I'll have some tools and stuff that I have. So I do ask if you do come to, like, at least bring a kind of a trowel tool maybe, or, you know, like any kind of small digging tool that does well for moving sod. That's kind of what we could probably use, but it really doesn't take much. So what I have should work pretty well. So I guess that's really all we need to worry about for the 24th is, you know, if everybody who can come, that'd be great. And we'll split up into some groups and go. We'll have the list of trees. I'll coordinate with Steve just to make sure we've got the list of trees we need to go mark. I know we have that list. So we'll kind of have that part set up and then, go from there with that. I think that's really all there is to it. We'll have it, put it in and be done. So that should work. Does anybody else have any other comments about that task we're doing coming up?
I just about the markers, I just hope that we can try to get them all level with the ground cover, because I see some of them that you couldn't mow over them. So that means you got to use a string trimmer or something, which I hate. So
I'll go over that with everyone just to make sure, because, you know, the quality control was not like consistent when we did it the first time. So my preference is to get that as close to ground, especially if there's sod around and things like that. If it's sort of a, you know, just dirt or mulch or something, it's a little different. But yes, I agree. We need to make sure we get it sort of level and slightly sloped if we can do that, instead of totally flat. So that's definitely something we'll try to do. The other item I was kind of had put thoughts in is the tree planting. And Adrian, I know you sent out a great list. I was like, hey, that's great. Whatever we get, that'll be fantastic, and we can have that great opportunity. I know in the past the tree board kind of helps sort of arrange and set that up, but I'm not entirely sure what all tasks the tree board did at that time. I know the city kind of brought in some trash cans and tables and things, I think, for the volunteers that showed up. I know that I really don't know how the volunteers kind of appeared. I think it came from Trees Atlanta, I assume. Like, it goes out, you know, to folks that want to do volunteer work, and they get a notification to meet at that location, and they all just sort of show up for like a Trees Atlanta volunteer opportunity. And I just wanted to put it out there to make sure if anybody knows what the tree board needs to do as far as planning for the actual tree planting. Now, we haven't set a date, I don't believe, right, Adrian?
That's correct.
And we usually do it, you know, really close to Thanksgiving, somewhere in there, sometime in November, because it's usually cold. So that's always a good time to plant. I just want to make sure if there's something we need to do as a tree board, I guess I just want to make sure that we're going to cover what we need to do. Either we go help arrange to go pick up snacks or coffee or whatever we need to do, or if that's all city. I just frankly, because I don't know what the past tree board did when it came to that.
Does anyone here know?
Yeah. We got pizza for the volunteers, which the city paid for. Last year, the city actually arranged for that, and they went and picked it up and all. I baked cookies in the past and had cookies out for them. So,
who provided the coffee when you were signing up?
The city had all that set up.
Something we talked about.
They had it set up last year.
So, is that you, Gina, or was that somebody else?
Last year was Paul did a lot of it last year. You did a lot of it before Paul then.
I actually fetched the coffee last year.
Okay.
But he actually showed up and did the heavy lifting as far as digging holes and stuff. But I'm sure we can arrange that kind of thing for you guys again.
Well, what we could do is just sort of set up a little email chain about it, just to see, you know, who can help the city, you know, with some of that stuff. I mean, as long as the city will fund, you know, the refreshments and whatever needs we need and all that stuff, then I'm sure some folks on the tree board can help, you know, coordinate and arrange that. And we don't have to decide that tonight. I just want to put it out there that we do need to coordinate and, you know, be available. And I think working with Adrian, we can kind of come up with that. And I don't think we need a whole bunch of volunteers. I think just a few folks that could help that morning. Unless anybody has any other further comment about that part of coordination, I can, you know, I'm happy with that. It sounds like we could just sort of do a little bit of coordination and it would be good.
Well, Brad, Adrian did ask us as a tree board to make any recommendations that we might have on areas in the city that need trees, and especially you talked about the potential for chunk planting.
Yeah, that's like my next comment is that, you know, we're going to need to kind of take Adrian's list, which is good, it's a good start, and then kind of refine that and then finalize where we're putting everything. Steve's not able to, he's muted, so he can't talk, but he's texting me while we're doing this, and he says it'll take a couple of weekends, but let's work with Adrian to identify those. And I think that's, you know, I know Steve will want to be involved in that. I'm happy to do that too. I don't know if we'll be able to have a discussion of specific locations in the meeting, and we may have to do something kind of offline as a small group. But yes, we need to ID that. And as far as I'm concerned, we can talk about, you know, where are some specific areas we want to include here on this, in this meeting. Does anybody have any comments about that, or where things should be added that maybe we haven't thought of other than just the verge?
I don't have a comment on that, but just to throw it out there. So I haven't scheduled anything with Trees Atlanta yet in terms of either the project date. I don't know what their windows are, or what I offered to do with the project coordinator, Latifa Day, was drive around the suggested sites in the city. So that hasn't been scheduled either. So if any tree board members want to come along, there's not a lot of room in my truck, but if anyone wants to come along for that ride and, you know, kind of see what we're doing, you know, that could possibly happen.
When do you think that might be? Do you know?
I don't know. You know, I think it's September. So they're in their sort of like ramp up time over there. I know that for project season, they like to start like right out of the gates in October. So things are probably pretty crazy and they'll want to just fit me in when they can, is what I'm guessing. But I'll follow up with him in a couple of days.
Can I suggest that we do not do the tree planting on November 12th? That is a holiday market at the community club for the garden club. And it's garden club people all hands on deck. So you will not get any volunteers from the garden club that day.
That was going to be one of my questions for the board is, you know, how attached are people or are y'all or what do y'all think of the late November planting window? Would people be concerned if it was in January, for instance, instead?
Not good.
not good?
Okay. Not good. Too cold.
Okay. Oh, I wouldn't mind it.
I think it's too cold, but
I wouldn't mind that either. Frankly, I mean, I prefer to work in the cold anyway. So
me too.
Now if it's one of those crazy weather systems that where it's like, you know, 10 degrees, we're not going to do it, but
yeah.
You know, if it's like a day where it's like 45, you know, that'd be fine.
Okay.
So, and that may have actually what I'm not going to talk about what we've done in the past, but Steve mentioned that we've done it in January before. So, I mean, and that's certainly fine for trees. It's not a problem with that.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, we'll just have to play it by ear with weather if we want to plant it in January. Because if it does come rain and it's really bad weather, it's, you know, we're not going to do it. So, yeah. Or you won't get any volunteers, put it that way.
Yeah.
but Adrian, I guess I'll send out an email, you know, after the meeting here, and we'll organize a time to kind of go through the list. And I'd at least give you kind of some thoughts about where we think the tree should go when you do have the ride. I mean, if somebody from the tree board is available, great, but it sounds like that might be kind of a off the cuff, you know, we won't get much warning about that. So, you know, so I think if we can give you kind of our thoughts off the, but prior to that, you know, that's what we need to try to do.
Brad, I have a comment. This is Susie. Like an uneducated person, but somebody who walks around and sees things. I just always wonder about and love Trees Atlanta, love what they've done here. But there are some examples that I think, what were we doing? The little triangle north of the Berkeley Kensington triangle, the tiny triangle has on it. We in the old days, Adrian, we call that go to church on Sunday triangle because there used to be a sign there that said go to church on Sunday. I'm sure that's long gone, but there are two declining dogwoods. And then right in the middle of it, I guess the Trees Atlanta project planted a ginkgo, which is now about what, y'all, 30 feet tall. And then last year for our November tree planting, my demonstration guy planted an oak tree right next to the ginkgo. And I keep thinking, is it a numbers game? Because, you know, what I know the dogwoods are on their way out, but it's like, is that oak tree going to be happy 15 feet away or 12 feet away from a ginkgo? So,
Susie, I don't know who picked that spot either. I had the same thought. So
I feel like now that we have Adrian on the job, we're going to stuff like that won't happen. I just thought that poor oak tree deserves space somewhere. So,
yeah, well, I have two things to say about that. I hope, you know, Gina doesn't reprimand me for giving away a state secret, but we have that go to church sign upstairs at City Hall.
Oh.
Anyone's curious.
We have lots of signs.
I kind of miss
random,
it.
Random weird signs up there.
But also, yes, ever since you pointed that out to me, I think, and ever since then, every time I drive by, I'm like, man, what is the deal there?
I'm like your mother, nagging.
Yeah, I wouldn't have recommended that placement either.
Good.
But yeah, Adrian, we'll get with you and you know, I know Steve's definitely got some opinions and I have mine. I'm a little less, you know, I'm a little bit more, you know, let the sleep dogs lie kind of thing. And but then I like somebody out there was recommending to somebody to put in some Leyland Cypress and I like, well, hold on a minute and to go into it. So, I think, you know, we can get you that help and let you know what we think about all that. But I don't know if anybody has any other comments about the tree planting coming up. I mean, we don't have a date yet. We won't be able to set that until Adrian coordinates with Trees Atlanta. It's okay with me and I think several other folks to go from, you know, anytime from October to January, fit us in. Prefer not January because it's cold, but some of us can help with that if needed. So so I don't know if anybody else has any other comments about that.
I have only one other comment, and it's a brief conversation I had with Nick Purdy last year, because there were so many young, I don't know who sent them last year, IBM or somebody, so many young professional folks who showed up to help. And I thought, why can't we tie in somehow with some sort of, hey, after you're done doing your good deed, why don't you head over to one of our breweries and, you know, we'll give you a ticket for a, you know, a dollar beer or something. And he was all about that. He said, I'm not providing beer for the digging. I went, no. This is just a, you know, if you want to stop by, you know, someplace in downtown, one of many, and have a beer, we'll somehow figure out a way to work with the Nick or Stacia or whomever to give you a, you know, a good deal on a cold beer and sort of introduce them to downtown Avondale as well. Just because they seem to be of that, not that we ever outgrow drinking beer, let's be honest, but they seem to be of that demographic, you know, kids in their 20s.
Yeah. And I think what we can do is if we can ping somebody with the Downtown Development Authority and just say, hey, is there some way we can, you know, coordinate the volunteer tree planting and make sure these folks can participate after the planting by providing some sort of coupon to spend it in downtown Avondale on something.
So well, I have a connection so I'll take responsibility for figuring out who to talk to at the DDA to.
I mean, it may not, you know, it may not be a specific brewery, but it could be from downtown Avondale, like a $5 coupon or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Great. Good idea. That helps to tie it to, you know, do that. Cool. That's a good comment. And then, you know, newsletter wise, I think in the next city newsletter, there was instructions that we sent to help people understand how to put a mulch ring around trees in their verge. It was pretty long. So I know Ellen with the city was like, well, this is kind of long. I don't know. We're going to, and I was like, that's fine. I don't know how else to do it. And so that should show up in the next one. But I think what would be cool is if we do, if we could figure out how to have it so that the thing goes in sideways and as a printed back, front and back sheet and make it a very simple kind of brochure and let people cut it out, you know, or remove it from the next newsletter. I think that would be kind of cool. The next one's Christmas, I guess. You know, maybe we want to do it, you know, for the spring newsletter. Be kind of awkward to put a tree thing in for Christmas. But anyway, that's kind of my thought. And I think, you know, if I can sit down and kind of work out, you know, shorthand for some of those brochures. I sent out links to a few of them, but if anybody hasn't talked about it. That's kind of how I figured.
Lindsay Markek, who is a professional communications publicity person, she wants to help with that. So she signed up.
So my intention is to get the information and photos and things and just sort of send it to her and say, here, put it in kind of a format, and we can get that to Ellen and say, can we get this placed into the city's newsletter? Now, they have a third party that tends to put it all together. They just take the info and put it together along with advertisements and everything else. So dictating specifics might be a little hard, but I'll talk to Ellen a little bit about how we could do that. And then if that's the case, then we should be able to put it together and then get that to her. So I would appreciate that help, and then you know, go forward from there. But that's kind of the thought. That's really on me to kind of coordinate that information into a format and then get it to her and see if she'll put it together. Then we can present it at a tree board meeting, and then from there get it to the city to go out into maybe the spring brochure. That would probably be the best thing to do. Thoughts about that?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
The other one that's on our table is to create the Arboretum brochure piece. We can get that set up and put on the website, and eventually, you know, put it in the same newsletter. And one thing I was thinking of is that, you know, we can't put every Arboretum tree on the map. I mean, I guess we could, but, you know, it would be hard to do. And I wonder if we want to just sort of specifically point out the really cool trees. That's kind of my question, is like, should we just limit it to just some, you know, list all these interesting species in the brochure and say, you know, here's highlights that you can go walk and see them. And, you know, I know we've batted around to show every tree and all this kind of thing. I don't know in the end if we do that, or we can show dots or something on the map, but we can like call out like maybe 15 specific species we want people to see, and talk about those in the brochure. Like, you know, what would be cool is to talk about the, you know, when we point out a water oak, that we can say that the city saved a, you know, seedlings from a water oak that was in front of the town green before it was cut down and the town green was built, that was supposedly planted, you know, from the first developers. So, you know, and we could tell the story about that in the Arboretum brochure. And we could do similarly if we know any other specific interesting trees we want to mention, you know, by that species, even if the tree's gone or, you know, something, we can tell those kind of stories. But I figure we might, when we do that brochure, that we may have to limit, you know, how many we're showing. I just want to put that thought out there. Anybody have any concerns about that?
Hey, Brad. Gina here. I mean, I'm a communications major, so I'm a communications person at heart, even though I don't do a lot of it in this role. But I think the whole, I've been aware of the seedling story about that big oak and stuff. I think Ellen, you know, who's our communications manager, would love something like that. I think she'd love to put that in the newsletter.
Yeah, and what I'm getting at is that.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
On that
topic, Stephanie Cross approached me with a. She said she has a 15-gallon seedling off of that oak, and asked if the city can find a spot to plant it. So, any recommendation from the tree board on where that would be appropriate to plant would be appreciated for sure.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that the same way we talk about the other trees.
And Brad, there's one of those seedlings right down the street from where you and I live, down in front of, I think it's 17 Kingstone, from that oak tree. Yeah. So.
Yep. I know which one you're talking about.
And we've lost some trees across the street from there. Maybe we'll put that seedling on the other side.
Yeah, we'll have to limit our water oaks, really, but that'd be fine. Let's see. But yeah, what I was getting at there, Gina, is that, you know, we've got to put together basically like an arboretum brochure similar to what we're talking about, but this one that people can cut out and save. And then we'll have that posted, you know, within like the city's website somewhere where they can see it. And then, you know, we can get some printed at some point, and, you know, for tree events, we'll have it out, you know, for printing and review. What I was getting at is that we may want to limit how many species we're talking about in the brochure just because of space, you know, because I need glasses to read anything anymore. So I'm just wondering if it ends up being just a few different species and not all the trees in the arboretum, is that a problem? That's really what I'm getting at.
I don't see a problem.
No.
Yeah.
Well, is there some body that, you know, Tracy was communicating with that judges
we're good. We are now a certified arboretum, and the fact that the city has like all public trees mapped in a GIS system, I mean, we cover all those bases. This is purely to promote the fact that we are a community arboretum, and that, you know, we can use to promote it, and you know, promote education. And it's certainly positive, keeps us in good standing with these arboretum folks. But from what I understand, we were okay with all that. This is sort of extra.
I'm going to Tennessee this weekend, and that campus where our little place is a level 4 arboretum, and they've got a brochure. So I'll grab one and bring it back for you to see what they did.
I've seen a few examples, but yeah, any more examples would be great. That's all I had about that. It's just, you know, just finding the time to get some of that stuff put together. I think another item, on the agenda, I may be looking at the wrong list, but, was talking about, you know, selective pruning. I know Adrian wanted some assistance with that, and I know it's been on our plate to kind of try to, you know, include that with the tree removal budget that the city has.
Steve's typing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Steve has a list on Clarendon that needs pruning.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when Adrian asked us last month about which stretches needed priority for limbing up, I live on Clarendon, and we get school buses and 18-wheel trucks. And so, you know, I think the streets that take that kind of traffic definitely need to receive priority, because they're, you know, stuff's getting jerked off. But it, you know, so I think Clarendon and South Avondale gets it, and so does Kensington as well. That's just because of the traffic I watch roll by.
Right. And I certainly agree. And Steve's got a list. So I don't know when Adrian will be able to fit this within, you know, the other projects he's doing, and that we have the on-call tree company and everything. But, you know, we're there to help Adrian. So if you want to reach out to that point, Steve's got that that list, and we can help with that if need to.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that.
Okay. But that's all I had. Am I missing anything, or is there anybody got any other comments or?
Yeah, in the sort of expanded agenda that I sent y'all yesterday, just because Adrian brought up so many great programs in his email to us, the Front Yard Tree Program, the Year 5 Pruning, and the 1 Million Trees Initiative, I thought it would be great to give him a chance to explain, you know, what those things are to us.
For sure. Yeah, Front Yard Tree Program is something that some other cities and municipalities in the metro area do. So DeKalb County has one. I guess Avondale residents might be eligible through the DeKalb program. I have to check on that. But Decatur has their own. Atlanta has their own. I think they do it in Sandy Springs. And I think they do it through Trees Atlanta. I've done, you know, just not a mountain of research on this because, you know, I want to kind of take people's temperature and, you know, hear the recommendation of the board before really diving into that. And probably more of a long-term goal. But, yeah, just curious if you think the community would be receptive to that idea. You know, I don't think it's necessarily something that has to, you know, do dynamite numbers to be justified. You know, 1 year we might get 20, you know, people, maybe another year or five, you know, it'll probably ebb and flow from my understanding. But it's just a cool way to have some influence over what people plant on their, you know, private properties, you know, getting natives planted outside of our public spaces. And, you know, influencing people to think of themselves as caretakers for the overall canopy in our community. So that's the concept.
You know, what would be cool is what would be funny is I'm all for it. I mean, if we can institute a program like that, and it would be funny to like throughout, you know, there's always some of these houses we can say that house needs a tree. Maybe we should like say, hey, you're welcome to join this program. You know, let us know if you're interested. you know, so that would be, I don't think we have to do that, but I think I'm all for it. I think that would be great if we had that program.
Would that be something that could go in the newsletter to encourage people to participate and also give them the type of trees and things that would be appropriate?
Yeah, I think so. Once we have the program going, then it goes in the newsletter and you say, here's what you get. And it's like, you would, you know, the city's green space manager will select, you know, a tree for you and plan for planting or whatever. And, you know, if the tree you want matches our need or something like that, we want to kind of say it has to be kind of approved by us as opposed to, oh, I want a Bradford pear. Can you bring that in? So I think, so as long as we kind of gently guide whoever is involved, like, okay, but we'll bring you like a white oak or, you know, something that makes sense. So, you know, not a Japanese maple or something that typically.
Yeah. And that's part of how they do it with the other programs is you're given that palette of trees to pick from. It's, you know, so you can't go way off map with it.
Sounds great.
I mean, Adrian, if there's anything we can do to kind of help, you know, move that along, but I'm fully behind it. I would assume everybody else would be too.
Yeah. That's encouraging to hear. And right now it's purely conversational, just to be clear, but it's definitely something I think would be cool. Then the Million Trees Initiative, that's something Trees Atlanta does, and they just partner with a bunch of municipalities around the metro area. I can probably bring up the list in a second here. But it's like, you know, hold on 1 second. It's easy to access. Yeah, Brookhaven, East Point, Hapeville, Norcross, College Park, Decatur, Doraville, Dunwoody, Sandy Springs, Smyrna, South Fulton in Atlanta. And, you know, it sounds, you know, I sent them an email about it and they haven't gotten back to me, so I need to follow up probably. But it sounds like the requirements are not high. It's sort of like with Arbor Day, where you just show your participation in increasing and preserving canopy every year and just show that we're part of a network of municipalities that are committed to canopy preservation and, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Well, it sounds like Avondale's left out. We got to catch up. We got to get on that wagon.
I see us as definitely belonging, you know, on that list more than, you know, deserving of a place there is how I view it.
Is there anything we can do to get that moving faster, Adrian? I mean, do we need to like tell the BOMC, hey, you need to sign this proclamation or something like that?
You know, it's really TA who's dragging their feet. So, you know, let me follow up with them and, you know, try and get some momentum there.
Okay.
What about Adrian, the year five pruning, the volunteer pruning?
Absolutely. I found, you know, a spot that I thought was intriguing for it. So this is just something I've been doing as I'm, you know, cruising around town, you know, taking calls and stuff like that. Try and keep an eye out for, you know, trees in that, you know, let's say 10 to 16, 18-ish maybe foot height range that could use, were clearly planted sometime in the last, you know, 8-ish years and could use some structural pruning that look, you know, a little messy, or, you know, where a project where, you know, again, Trees Atlanta could come out and, you know, do a volunteer project and teach a little bit of structural pruning and, you know, help out some of these street trees. Now that I've spent some time driving around looking at it, I don't think this is an impactful part of what we're doing going forward as far as maintaining our streetscapes. I think it's really more about, you know, education and involvement with the community. And really, you know, here in the city, we need to, you know, find ways to get that structural pruning done for our more mature trees, or sort of those like mid-range trees that have been establishing for a few years. But I found a spot on, I think Dartmouth, right before, as you're heading south, right before you get to Fairfield. And there, you know, there's a couple of messy looking black gums that are just still in reach of, you know, a pair of pole pruners that, you know, some volunteers would be able to kind of see that more complicated style of pruning and the, you know, strategic style of pruning that you have with some of those trees that grow with that form. So that's the idea there. I don't think it's necessarily something, you know, I'm driving forward for, you know, to make a huge impact on our streetscape. I think we really are looking at that internally, but I think it's a cool thing for the community.
What about the last one that you mentioned in your email to us was the 1 million trees initiative.
Adrian. Oh, I just talked about that. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. And one thing I forgot to mention, I know this was brought up with the list that Adrian had put together about our tree planting. I think if anybody's been in Willis Park lately, I think we know that there's more and more of the trees are being lost to the construction that happened 5 years ago. Sometimes it takes a while for the impacts to show. So I think that's kind of a target to get more restoration trees in the park, so that we have something going prior to the sweet gums declining or something in there, the large stuff. I know the maple on the street is on Dartmouth's dead. It's got to go. And, you know, more than likely, looking at some of the sweet gums, it looks to me, I mean, not being an arborist, but I'm like, I can see thinning up there in the crown. So I think that might be a focus of our, a part of the tree planting there, Adrian, is that we decide some of that. I know there goes Steve. He's sending me a message. Yeah, he's like, yeah, great point. So I think maybe we can identify a few spots in the park to get those. And if we can, like I mentioned in my email, I think to you separately, privately, Adrian, if we can get, even if they're small container stuff, like get some hickory species in the park.
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic because you can't put those on the street really, you know, because of the nuts and things like that, but get them in a park, they're gorgeous. So if we can, and they're hard to find. So if we can get some container grown hickories to add to the park too, that'd be, I'd much rather have hickory nuts on the ground than sweet gum balls. So
yeah,
over time.
For sure. So.
Can I make a comment about a small tree in Willis Park?
Sure.
As somebody who's spent a lot of time in Willis Park over the last 2 years, small trees are just, the kids just can't leave them alone. So they take tree branches and scratch the bark, they pull limbs down. And so if, you know, I would love to work with the school to come up with a program that, you know, identifies the way trees grow and what tree parts are. And when you know, scratch your initials there, this is what happens. And when you hang on, so I would say don't plant a tree in Willis Park unless it's way taller than, you know, an eighth grade kid can reach up and hang on.
Yeah. I definitely, unless, oh, go ahead.
No,
I'm done.
Points. And you know, the caria, you know, I would love to add some carias because they're not super represented in our public canopy. And I think that's a great call on, you know, the park setting and the appropriateness there. And we would get that diversity through 3-gallon and 7-gallon trees is how I understand it in terms of where we would get.
Right. Those. And
I think it's not.
And here's the thing, like.
I was just going to say, that's not necessarily onerous cost wise to try that out. And it just depends on the spots we pick, I think. You know, I haven't really been out there when the kids are romping around after school. And now that school's back in, I probably owe myself a visit to really see what it's like. But maybe there's some lower trafficked areas we could sort of dabble in and experiment there.
And I don't think it wouldn't hurt to plant, you know, I've had to specify, you know, beaver protection around trees before and a few other wildlife protection things. So there's nothing wrong with coming up with some way to protect smaller material from kids because the you know, some of the trees you're talking about that have been damaged by the kids you know, messing around, is they were pulling on the overcup oaks that we planted, you know, so, and those were big. Those are like 4 or 5 inch caliper, I think, maybe four when they went in, and I noticed the kids are yanking on those limbs. So I mean, that's a big tree to put in, so they're going to get even the bigger ones we put in. So, but like we had like eight foot sweet bays and Steve was mentioning they just were literally broken in half by the kids.
Yeah.
So I think we need to come up with a fence, you know, if we're going to have these 8 foot trees or, you know, 4 inch caliper trees, we're going to have to do more than the staking straps. I think we need to put like a kind of like a permanent, split rail fence around them or some sort of, you know, not permanent, but as in like it would last like several years. And so
an educational, I don't know, it just seems like some science teacher at the schools could, you know, could include Willis Park and the trees and plantings there as part of a lesson so that kids, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, then you do it. So maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, that would be good. It would be helpful. But I think we can, when we do the tree plantings in the park and we do that, I think we may need to come up with some type of special fencing.
Yes.
That, you know, we may want to use and like, there are some pockets of the park that are pretty, that are not, you know, trampled too much. Adrian, so I mean we can probably find those areas, but I mean it's still a big public park, it's open, and the kids will find these little trees and they'll pull on them and stomp on them and push them over. so we'll have to figure out some way to try to prevent that, but a lot have died based on, you know, just kids messing with them. So that is a good point. That was the last thought I had. Is there any other final thoughts or anything? But I think, you know, our big thing is let's get as many folks as we can. I'll send out an email, you know, a couple of times leading up to the putting the markers in, and then hopefully we'll find out pretty relatively soon when a good date would be for the tree planting, and then we'll see what we need to do to help the city with that event.
Do we have for the markers, do we have addresses where they're going to go in front of this house?
And yep. I need to coordinate. Steve's got those.
If we can get that list to Peg Weiss, because she's happy to go ahead and put little stickers on the marker, on the granite markers, just like she did.
Okay. Yep.
So you can either get
Steve will send that out. And,
send it to me, send it to Christy Granger, and we'll get it to Peg Weiss if one of us would.
Okay. Great. That's all I have. Does anyone want to make a motion to adjourn, or anybody feel like there's any other issues we need to cover?
Come on, y'all.
Okay, how about a motion to adjourn?
Thank you.
Yeah. And y'all, please follow up with me if you think of anything, you know, that we didn't cover, you know, after the fact, if you didn't think of it in the meeting or whatever, or you just want to follow up, curious about anything, have recommendations that, you know, any of that stuff, feel free to follow up with me. So email, call, text, whatever.
Steve seconded the motion to adjourn. So
great.
All in favor?
Aye.